Matthew chapter 15. The name of the message is The Pandemic of Sin. A couple questions I'd like to ask at the start of this message. How far would you travel for your loved ones if no one could help you, if no one could help them where you lived, if they had a disease or an infirmity which no one could help them with in the country that you live in? How far would you travel if you heard that there was a doctor that had a cure? How far would you travel? And then how far would your loved ones travel if you were sick and they heard that a doctor had a cure for you? That they heard that a doctor had a cure for your very sickness and that he was the only one who could heal you? How far would you travel? And how far, if you were sick, would you ask them to travel or would they travel for you? Well, I think the answer for all of us, and your answer in your own heart, is as far as we had to go. Today we'll look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 39. Let's read this text. Matthew 15, starting in verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, which is deaf, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. Take note of that. 3 days. And have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And that's hungry. He will not send them away hungry. Or, and his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness to fill so great a multitude? Now, the chapter before, he had just fed 5,000. And they're asking them this question, oh, ye of little faith, right? Unbelief's a plague, isn't it? It's a plague in all of us. And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave them to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. They didn't just eat, they were filled. You're being so filled, you just want to have a nap afterwards? Yeah, they were filled. God's people are filled in Christ, aren't we? We're filled in Christ. And they took up of the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. My. So the fragments were collected and it was 7 baskets full. Again, the perfect number, 7 full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. So just 4,000 men alone. Some commentators estimate that this group was over 20,000 people. With the children, with the women, and with all the maimed, all the people he healed to. Over 20,000. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came unto the coast of Magdala. Oh, what a great miracle we see performed by the Lord here. What a great miracle. There are 3 main points that I'd like us to consider this morning when we look at this portion of Scripture. Our Lord feeds a multitude of people. And we see in verse 38 that He feeds again 4,000 men. And we see here that our Lord's deity is on full display. Because He takes some loaves and some fish and feeds a multitude of people. Full. Not one of them went away hungry. Not one of them. And this is how we should come to church too. Eh? Like Matt said, we should come hungry for the Word. Hungry for the Lord. Because only He can feed us. Teachable. Come that way, don't we? We want to grow. We want to learn in the things of Christ. And here's some things I'd like us to consider as we look at this text today. Number one, we see how much more pains people take about the relief of their body diseases than about their soul diseases. We're going to see how far, remember I asked you that question, how far would you go? People go a great length to relieve body pain. Great lengths. Hospitals are full of people that want to come and have relief. Have relief from things that ail them. And they take great pains. Find places or people who can help them. Number two, the second point I'd like us to consider is how with ease and power our Lord feeds 4,000 men, not including the women and all who He healed, and the children as well. How with ease He does it, just with ease. And how with ease He healed all who came to Him. Because we read that in the text too. All who came to Him, they were healed.
with ease for him.
With ease. Then the last one I'd like us to consider
is the abundant compassion that the Lord has upon the multitude. The abundant compassion that our Lord has on the multitude of people here in our text. And he is compassionate.
He is so compassionate. So let's consider the first point brought forth here. We see how with much pain, how far people will go and how much pain they will endure to go to somewhere to find relief for their bodies.
But they have no care for their soul disease. No care for their soul disease.
We see in verses 30 and 31 here that great multitudes of people came to our Lord. Let's look at that again. And great multitudes came unto Him. They come unto Christ. They had heard about Him. They had heard about what He could do. And don't forget too, God by His almighty power and will is bringing these people to Christ. Never forget that. Because God's going to be glorified through these healings. He's going to be glorified.
And it says here, and great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame.
Now we're lame from a fall, aren't we? We fell in Adam. We're lame. We're going to see a picture of us here. Those who were lame. Blind. Well, we're blind to spiritual things, aren't we? In our natural state, we're totally blind. I was thinking about this morning. And we can all relate to this. We can all relate to this. You don't turn on the light in the middle of the night and your curtains are drawn or your blinds are turned. It's black, right? It's dark. Have you ever tried to get up and maybe go to the bathroom during that time and you hit something? Because why? You're blind. Sometimes you even close your eyes to let your eyes adjust. But there's still, when it's that pitch black, we used to have blackout curtains in our room. I had to leave a light on so I didn't run into things. Because it blows blackout curtains, make everything so dark that no light can come in. That's how we are in our natural state. We are blind. We cannot see anything. Somebody may tell us about God and about spiritual things, but we are blind. We cannot see. We're groping around in the dark. Look at these people. They were blind. They could not see. Now, they may have been able to hear, but they couldn't even see. And then we see the dumb, which is the deaf, mute. They couldn't speak about the great things of God. Did we speak of the great things of God before the Lord saved us? No. We were blind, we were lame, and we were mute about the things of God. Weren't we? Yeah. And then maimed. Well, we can't help ourselves, can we? Can't help ourselves. These folks couldn't help themselves. They're maimed. And then many others. Anything, any sickness related to our soul is covered. My, we are infected with the pandemic of sin, beloved. But these people had real ailments. They were really lame. They were really blind. They were really deaf, mute. And they were really maimed. And many others that the text doesn't tell us about. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet. And what did He do? It says He healed them. He healed them. We see the text here proclaims that this was a great multitude of people. And they came to Him. How far some of them traveled, we don't know. But obviously some of them traveled a long way. Look, even just where our Lord traveled. And we know these folks followed Him. Our Lord traveled near the Sea of Galilee in verse 29 and then went up into a mountain. And then He sat there. And this great multitude came to Him. How did they come to Him? Well, they'd heard. They'd heard about the great physician. Maybe one of those lame man or woman's children heard about the great physician. Heard about Christ who could heal the lame. Who could make the blind to see. And they came to Him. They came to Him. Again, this great crowd of people is estimated to be 20,000 or more strong. And they were so taken up by Christ. They were so taken up by His miraculous power. They were so taken up with His infinite goodness. They were so taken up with His gracious words that they lost track of all other things. And they followed Him and brought to them those who were lame, blind, deaf, maimed, and many others. And we see in verse 32 that they've been with the Lord for 3 days. They got so carried away with what the Lord was doing. Could you imagine being there and seeing the deaf able to speak? Seeing the lame get up? A whole healing too? They don't have to go through no physical therapy or anything like that. They're healed. The blind can see. Could you imagine if a child had been blind most of his life and didn't see his parents? Or to see brothers and sisters who he'd heard their voices but he'd never seen them? Could you imagine what that would have been like? My. My, oh my. They lost track of time, beloved. They were so carried away with the great things the Lord was doing that they lost track of time. Having received great, great mercies and great blessings, one on top of another, they were yet still in a great need, though. They needed food and strength. We'll look at that later in this message. And no doubt, some of them traveled a long way. Some of them may have traveled the whole way with our king, too. Because we know a multitude of people followed them, too. They followed them, and they... But obviously, others brought people who were lame, brought people who were deaf to him, brought people who were blind to him. That's what the text proclaims. And think of how much pain and suffering it would take to carry a lame man, even 3 or 4 miles, yet up a mountain. We don't know how big the mountain was, but yet up a mountain. People will take all kinds of pain and suffering for the relief of their body, but they will have no care, absolutely no care for their soul. Look at verse 30 again. And great multitudes came. They came to him. They came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Now see the word there, and cast them down at Jesus' feet? This is very graphic in the Greek. This is a very graphic word. It literally means to fling them down. They didn't fling them down, but that's what it literally means. They flung them down, but they brought them, put them right in front of them. And this was not in a careless way, but in haste. They probably thronged just to get to him. Could you imagine bringing your loved one? You'd want to get to him so quickly. Or if you were sick with a malady that you only knew he could heal, get me there, get me there, get me there. Oh my. And there was a great multitude of them, and they were all coming. Those who were bringing the sick were all coming with the same errand, weren't they? We want to get our loved one or our friend to the feet of Christ. Remember, I love that narrative we looked at a few weeks ago about the guys, and we chuckle about it. I saw Jim and Barb chuckle about it when I was preaching on it. Remember, they were ripping open the rooftop, they were dropping them down in there. That's amazing how far they went to bring that man to the feet of Christ. The same haste is what these people are doing. They're coming to Christ with the same haste. Must get them there. And so many came with their loved ones and friends that were lame, blind, deaf, and maimed, that they sought quickly to come to Christ as he healed them. And again, no doubt many of them came many miles and went through much trouble. Much trouble. Nothing, again, is more troublesome as to move sick people. So think of how hard it was to bring them to Christ. To leave the home that they were in or the place that they were in. And they didn't have taxis and ambulances like we have now. You either carry them by hand or you put them on a cart and follow the road, which was probably bumpy. So you imagine the pain that's coming from that. Or you may just take your loved one by the arm. Put your arm around me. Carry them even if you had to, right? You go through great pains to get them there. And the people who were sick would endure a long journey if they knew they were going to be healed. They'd endure a lot if they knew they were going to be healed. And their loved ones would do all that was in their power to get them to the physician. These folks were doing all that was in their power to get their loved ones or friends to the great physician. And people feel that health is one of the greatest blessings on this earth. And it's true. And pain is sometimes the hardest trial to bear, isn't it? Pain is hard to bear. Because usually we don't verbalize it and we suffer with it on our own. We sometimes don't even tell our loved ones about it. We just suffer alone with it, praying to the Lord, asking Him to put a healing hand upon us or just relieve the suffering a little bit. So pain is something hard to endure. But if a man or a woman received a diagnosis and they knew that they need help, you tell them of a doctor, and what do they do? They go to the doctor, don't they? They go to the doctor. They go to the doctor. If it's really serious, they go to the doctor as soon as they can. As soon as they can. They will find a doctor within reach who will help them with that situation. And if they can't go themselves, they'll get family or friends to help them out. Go to that doctor. And those who were lame, deaf, blind, and maimed in our text had to be literally carried to the Savior, taken to the Savior. But again, they would endure much because the hope of them being healed was in sight, wasn't it? They'd heard about this great physician. They'd heard about this miracle doer. And such a hope that Christ could heal them inspired these needy souls and those who cared for them that no obstacle was going to stop them. No cost was considered too much. They must go to Christ. Now there's something that every believer in Christ knows and that most people do not know. Every believer in Christ knows this truth, that our souls are affected with a malady far more deep-seated and far more complicated and far more hard to cure than any ailment of the flesh. The believer in Christ knows that there has been a pandemic with humanity since the fall of Adam. And there really has been. And this pandemic has permeated through every human being, from the top of our head, bottom of our feet. We're all born with this.
And you know what? It has 100% killer rate.
We're born with this plague, this leprosy called sin. And there's nothing that we can do on our own to cure ourselves. And there's no other human being who can help us to be cured or cure themselves. And this plague is called sin. We are all plague-stricken with sin. It has affected our hearts. It has affected our minds. It has affected our bodies. And we must be healed and healed effectually or we'll perish forever. Are we alive to the spiritual disease? Do we know about it? If so, it is by the grace of God that you truly know about this plague, because the bulk of mankind have no idea. They do not feel it even a little. Their eyes are blinded. They're deaf to the things of God. They say, I'm fine. I'm fine. They make fun of those who tell of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can heal our soul's disease, the only one who can heal us from this pandemic called sin. Have you found out your soul's disease? Have you found it out? Have you saw that you are infected with this deadly plague called sin that has a 100% kill rate? Soul that sinneth, it must die, the Scriptures declare. If you've seen your desperate need for Christ, you will never rest until you've found the only cure for this deadly plague. This deadly plague called sin. And the only cure for this deadly plague is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All sin. Amen. All sin. All of it. Isn't that wonderful? So wonderful. Great physician is the only one who can heal us. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. And if He reveals Himself to you, and you see your need for Him, if you're drawn to Him, then you're fit right into this passage right here. You're fit right into this passage. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Yea, doubtless, Paul's writing this, church at Philippi. Paul was a very learned man, but he counted all that he had learned before the Lord saved him as nothing. He calls it dung in this verse here. Nothing. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul had prestige. He had honor among men. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Some thought maybe he might become the next high priest. We don't know that, but people have speculated that. He lost it all. But he's not crying in a corner, is he? No. He says these words here. Whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. His eye is on the great physician. His eye is on Christ. And be found in who? In Him. Not in ourselves. Not in our own righteousness. But to be found in Him. In Christ. Look what he says. Not having mine own righteousness. Because he knows that with his own righteousness, there's no acceptance with God. But he knows that all those who are clothed in the royal garment, the royal wedding garment of the bride of Christ, which is the righteousness of Christ, are accepted by God. He says here, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. What's revealed in the preaching of the gospel? The righteousness of God. Who is the righteousness of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says it here. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is of his own doing, which is of the flesh, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The righteous robe which Christ wove when he was in perfect obedience to the law of God as our substitute. That I may know him. Oh, Paul had a desire to know him. He didn't think he'd arrived. He wants to know him. That I may know him. In the power of his resurrection. In the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Christ is the only one, beloved, who has all power and all might. He's the only one. He's the only one who's called the great physician. And he's the one who willingly came to this earth. The great physician willingly came to this earth. Willingly. Why? To save his people from this plague called sin. The sinless one goes to the cross and dies for sinners. The godly one, the holy one, dies in the place of the ungodly. That's me. And if you're a believer, that's you. If you do not know Christ, I pray that the Lord would show you your desperate need for Him. That He would draw you to Him. Oh, Christ is the only one who has all power and might. Now, these times that we live in, they're very uncertain times right now. They are. They're uncertain. Now, and they're uncertain times for us. Now, granted, when the believers lived during the Roman Empire, there was uncertain times for them too, wasn't it? See? We all go through these things. But for us in this generation, these are uncertain times. There's things happening that we haven't seen. But none of it catches our God by surprise. No, none of it. None of it at all. And we're living in uncertain times with this virus, which has come our way and has really changed things. Really changed things in our lives, hasn't it? But we take great comfort. We can take great comfort as God's people, knowing that when it fulfills God's purpose, it'll pass. It'll pass. We don't know. We're not privy to that information, are we? No. But when this virus, when this situation fulfills God's purpose, it'll be gone. He may allow it to stay. We don't know. We have no idea. We just wait on the Lord, don't we? No matter what comes, we have to wait upon Him. Every day in our lives, we wait upon Him, don't we? Do you know people are more afraid of this virus than they are of God? You know that we're living right now in a pandemic of fear as well? People are terrified. But God's people, we have a peace, don't we? We have a peace during this. Now, granted, do we get worked up sometimes about stuff? Of course we do. We're fleshy people, aren't we? Of course we do. Anyone who says they don't, they're lying. They're just lying. Of course we get worked up about things. But our constant stay is Christ, isn't it? The one who never changes in our lives is Christ. Amidst all that happens in this world. And when the Lord's purpose in this virus is fulfilled, it'll be done. And during times like this, we often have ups and downs, don't we? We do. Let's be honest. You know, I remember being in religion. Everything was, oh, mountain, oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm fantastic, praise the Lord. Meanwhile, you're down here dragging yourself around. So we as believers, we have ups and downs, don't we? We have hills and valleys. We go through dark woods sometimes. My, dude. But thankfully, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, again, have a constant, unchanging God. And His power is on display in what we've read today. His power is on display in what we've read today. So amidst all the changes of this world, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Everything that happened yesterday, He was the same, right? Everything that's happening today, He's the same, isn't He? If He tarries, everything that happens from there, He's the same, isn't He? So He's a constant, unchanging, as the scriptures say, He's a nail in a sure place. You put a nail in a sure place, that nail's put there to hold some stuff. Because it's sure. It's not going to bend. It's sure. He's a nail in a sure place, beloved. Oh, He's one you can trust your eternal soul on, no matter what. And we don't even know what's coming this afternoon, do we? We don't even know what's coming this week. But thankfully, the one who has saved His people from their sins knows the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. And you know what? By Him, all things consist. The very breath we breathe each day comes from Him. Oh, what a great God we have. So take comfort in these uncertain times if you're a believer in Christ. The same one who upholds the worlds. The same one who upholds the stars. The same one who holds all the universe together is the same one who is keeping you. It's the same one who's keeping you. No matter what you're going through, He's keeping you. And by what power? By His almighty power. Isn't that comforting? By His almighty power. Same power that was exercised in His great miracles, the healing of all them sick folks, and the feeding of all that great multitude is the same power that keeps us every single day. What comfort we can glean that Elohim, the Mighty One, God incarnate in the flesh, rules and reigns right now amidst all these uncertain times which we are going through. The next point I'd like us to consider is the ease and power it took our Lord to feed the 4,000 men. Consider with how much ease and power the Lord healed all those who were brought to Him. He who was God incarnate in the flesh manifested His almighty deity by the ease in which He healed those who were brought to Him. We know from the scriptures He healed some with just a touch, didn't He? He healed some with just a word. One of my favorite narratives is the leper, and he says, "Be thou." He says, the leper says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." And he says, "I will. Be thou clean." Oh my! With a word, with just a word. My, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. With a touch, with a word, He heals whom He wills. We see all that came to Him here were healed. And they glorified God as a result. Now all who are healed from the pandemic of sin by the precious blood of Christ, what do? We glorify God, don't we? Look at this in verse 31. "And so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak,
the maimed to be whole. Again, no 6-month recovery, instantaneous. That's why when the Lord healed that leper, He said, go and see the priest right away. Because the priest would have to examine that leper to see if he had any leprosy in him. And if he didn't, the law had no claim on him. Oh, my! Leprosy's a picture of sin, isn't it?
Law has no claim on us, beloved. We who are in Christ, we are healed. Look at this. And so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. They glorified the true and living God, beloved.
And that's what God's people do.
They glorify God. And we see our all-powerful God at work here. God incarnate in the flesh. He alone has all power and all might. And behold Christ's power to heal sin-diseased bodies. And He can do the same with our eternal soul with a word from Him. He can save you without you moving a muscle. The fever of lust, the palsy of love of the world, the consumption and disease of unbelief all give way when He sends His Spirit forth. They all give way. And He puts a new song. He puts a new song in the born-again, blood-washed believer's mouth. Puts a new song in our mouth. In the sinner's mouth. And He makes the blood-washed saint of God speak with love. With love of the gospel which he once ridiculed, or she once ridiculed. Now we speak of it with love. Love for the Savior. Love for our great God. And He can open the eyes of a man or woman's understanding and make them see the kingdom of God. And He can open the ears of a man or woman and make them willing to hear His voice. And He can make them follow Him all by His sovereign, almighty power, which we see on display in this passage which we've looked at today. He can make hands that were once instruments of sin serve Him. He alone can calm the sinner's heart just as He did the sea. Remember when the Lord was drawing you to Christ and it was like a great storm in our lives. You saw your sinfulness, didn't you? You saw your hopelessness without Christ. And did He not, by the shedding of His precious blood, when you found out He died for you, when He saved you, when you were born again by the Holy Spirit of God, was it not like He said, peace be still, when He spoke to that storm and the waves? Peace be still. And a believer has a peace that passes all understanding. Our boat may be rocked in the waves, just like a boat in the ocean. We may be rocked in the waves of this life, right? Oh yeah, up and down. We have a peace, don't we? That passes all understanding. That keeps our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. It's all the storms of life. There's that underlying peace. That underlying peace. My. And what happened when He said, peace be still? Those waves were calm, right? It was like glass. I remember going up north in Canada. And one day there'd be a storm. And the lakes we used to go fishing on, they were big lakes too. Part of a waterway for going from one great lake to another. And sometimes a storm would come in and those, you know, even though it's just a little waterway or a lake, there'd be some pretty good sized waves on there. Enough to capsize you if you go out in a little boat. But then there was other days we went out and it was like glass. And you'd see the Canadian geese flying and their wings would just tip the water. Beautiful. Just take your breath away. That's how God does with our souls when He saves us. Just peace be still. Peace be still. Oh my, what a great God we have. And He does it just by the word of His power, doesn't He? Some say the times of miracles have passed, but you know what? Every conversion is a miracle of grace. Every conversion is a miracle of grace. It's a miracle of God's mercy. It's a miracle of God's grace. And it comes from the hand of the Almighty One. The hand of the Almighty. What must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, we just go to Christ by faith and plead for Him to save us. Again, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still receives sinners. He still receives sinners today who come to Him. Praise His mighty name. Our Lord's not like these modern false healers of our day. No, He healed people with real infirmities. He healed people with real infirmities. The word maimed there means mutilated or cut off in the Greek. Mutilated or cut off. People who had limbs missing. Maybe they lost a limb in an accident. My. So what a tremendous picture we have of our Lord's power to heal sinners, to heal sin-sick souls. And there is no plague of the heart that He cannot cure. There's no plague of the heart that He cannot cure. There's no deformity of the soul that He cannot overcome. There's no fever of lust that He cannot stop. There's no palsy of worldliness that He cannot heal. No cancer of laziness that He cannot remove. And when the Son of God sends His Spirit, His all-powerful Spirit, by His grace and mercy, He opens the blind's eyes. He causes the deaf to hear.
He causes the mute to sing praises to Him.
The lame walk. And how do they walk? In paths of His righteousness. And they walk for His name's sake now. Oh, again, every conversion is a miracle of God's almighty power. One may ask, again, how can I be saved? You don't know what I've done. Go to Christ by faith. Cast yourself upon Him. Cast yourself upon Him. Call upon Him for relief. He's still the same as He was 2,000 years ago, beloved. Sinner friend, He's still the same as He was 2,000 years ago. He's still the great physician. He still receives sinners even today. He still does. He's still mighty to save. Now let's look in verses 32 and 38. In our last point, we'll see the abundant compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly brought forth here in verses 32 to 38. Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And His disciples say unto Him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and fishes and gave thanks, and brake them and gave to His disciples, and His disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. Now, there's a little nugget of gold in verse 32. Here's a little nugget of gold just tucked away in that verse. Look at these wonderful words. And if you're a sinner who has come to Christ, or a sinner who's being shown your need of Christ, look at these wonderful words tucked into verse 32. It says, I will not send them away. I will not send them away. That's a nugget of gold. Isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? I will not send them away. The great crowd of people of more than 20,000 strong was so taken up with Christ in His miraculous powers, His infinite goodness, His gracious words, that they lost track of all their doings. 3 days had passed before they knew it. Now they're hungry and faint. And they had received great mercy and blessings, one on top of another again. And we see that they were yet in great need still, as they needed food and strength. And notice our Lord's response. He says to the disciples, I will not send them away. Let these wonderful words of compassion, and that's what they are. These are wonderful words of compassion from our Lord Jesus Christ. Let them sink deep into your redeemed soul if you're a believer. If you're a child of God, how wonderful are these words falling from the lips of our Master. I will not send them away. Have you come to Christ? Are you coming to Christ? Is He drawing you? He says, I will not send them away. What does our Lord say in John 6:37? Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. I will not send them away. How encouraging this is to one who's been showing their need for Christ as well. This means that there's nothing in a sinner in all the world that will keep Christ from receiving him, if he does but come to Him. Look at that. Come to Christ. Come just as you are. Don't bring anything. Don't bring your so-called righteousness, because you don't have any. Don't bring your so-called goodness, because you don't have any. Just come to Christ. Just come to Him. And He will receive you. He says again, Him that cometh unto Me, I will no wise cast out. He said about this whole multitude, I'll not send them away. Not send them away. When Christ was on this earth, His joy, sorrow, thankfulness, wonder, and zeal are all mentioned. But His compassion is mentioned more than them all. And it's connected to the word move. Turn, if you would, one chapter over, Matthew 14. One chapter over, we see that our Lord was moved with compassion. We saw it mentioned in the text that we've looked at today, and we see it here too. Matthew 14:14. He feeds the 5,000. And He had compassion on them just as He has compassion on the folks we've read about in our text. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with what? Compassion toward them. And He healed their sick. Now this is pointed out here for our learning too, by the Holy Spirit of God. This is one of Christ's distinguishing features. He had compassion on people. And no doubt this is for our learning and for our profit. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. We know that He received sinners graciously. Here, forgive them freely. Here, remember their iniquities no more. Oh, it's wonderful. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? And here, supply our need abundantly. And as Brother Matt prayed, we're needy people. We're needy people. You probably find yourself more needy now than you ever felt needy before. And you know what? The more the Lord reveals to you Himself, the more needy you feel. It's true. Christ's mercy is a deep well, and no one has ever found the bottom. You know that? No one's ever found the bottom of the well of the mercy of God. No one's ever found the bottom of it. You could live thousands of years if the Lord allowed it, and you'd never find the bottom to the well of the mercy of God. Never. And we as the people of God ought to find comfort in His compassion, in Christ's compassion. He knows what the world's like that we live in right now. He's governing over it all. He knows. He knows the body of man. He knows all of our frailties. He knows them all. There's nothing hid from Him. He knows how frail we are. And yet, what does He do with us? He has compassion on us, doesn't He? Great compassion. He's long-suffering with His people. Very long-suffering with us. The Lord pities His people. He does not let us be cast down, does He? Now, we may go down, but He doesn't let us be utterly cast away, does He? No, He keeps us. Sometimes He humbles us. Sometimes He rebukes us. Sometimes He puts that crook of a shepherd's staff around our neck and just brings us back over to Him. But it's all done in love. It's not done in judgment. It's not done in wrath. It's done with great compassion. And remember what Lamentations say. His compassions, they fail not. They fail not, beloved. Lastly, let us consider the feeding of the 4,000, 20,000 with the women and children and those who've been healed. Let's read our text again, just verses 33 to 38. And His disciples say unto Him, "Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?" Verse 34. And Jesus saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, "Seven, and a few little fishes." And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And He took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to His disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. So we see clearly illustrated here before us. And let us remember this in these times that we're going through, these uncertain times. These times for our generation like we've never seen before. Just like the generation who grew up in the Great Depression. They saw how that was. That was very uncertain times for them. Generation who grew up during the war. That was very uncertain times for them. In the 50s with the Korean War, and in the 60s with the Vietnam War. Lots of uncertainty in the world, right? And now in our generation, uncertainties. See, we're not in control of these things, are we? We humans like to be in control of our environments. But as a believer, we realize we're not in control of things. That one greater than us is in control. So let all we who call upon the name of Christ cast all our spiritual needs and all our cares upon He who careth for us. On He who rules the winds and the waves. And think also upon, it says, much bread was eaten, but much remained, it says in our text, right? You catch that too? The more we feed upon our great Savior, who is the bread of life, the more we have of Him. And there's more, and there's more, and there's more. It's an everlasting supply. Our Lord brings out seven loaves and small fishes and give it all away. Now they may have had fear among them. Perhaps they would need these things themselves later on. But our Lord tells them to hand it all out. Hand it all out. Verse 36, He gives thanks to God. The Lord gives thanks to God for the food. And may we who are the people of God learn that the giving of thanks is a blessing each day. Thank the Lord for what He's done for you every day. Just be thankful to Him. I know many of us wake up in the morning and say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you." But always remember, our Lord loves and cares and watches over His born-again, blood-washed people. And lastly, in this text, I want us to go away with from this, is the Lord did it all. The Lord did it all, didn't He? He healed those who were brought to Him. He fed all that multitude. He did it all. He did it all. He performed this wonderful miracle of feeding 4,000 or 20,000, as some commentators said, just as He's done in our salvation. He does it all. Ye are complete in him. Praise his mighty name.